You're listening to Stuff Weekly, episode 372 for Tuesday, May the 8th, 2018. Chasing away those ninja blues. Hello, and welcome to Stuff Weekly. It is your weekly podcast where we talk about things that we found on the internet that people have left strewn about like so much garbage. I'm your host for this week, Matt Ryan now, I think is the name. I've forgotten so many things about my own life.
On the website, you're Matt Ryan, but like Cody still totally says Krua.
That's fine. Hi, I'm Matt Ryan, professional football man. And I am here, of course, to tell you that you can download our show every single week as you check all of your various podcast downloading services. These services include, but are not limited to, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Alternate Universe Evil iTunes, and of course, that's been etched into a rock. We etched it into a rock every week, and you can just read it from the bottom of the rock. I am joined by two fan-fucking-tastic hosts. And I'm going to introduce them to you now, first of all.
You didn't write anything down this week, did you?
I don't write anything down any week, Amy, goddammit. So, first of all, the lady sitting directly to my left. Let me just go ahead and tell you about Nikki Wright. The absolutely fucking perfect Nikki Wright. Nikki, how are you?
I am perfect. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm kind of got a sore throat thing happening.
Oh, no. That's fairly imperfect. I feel bad for you.
You should look down upon me in despair. I do. I get that. How did you get so perfect?
You know, I'm on the right track, baby. I'm born this way. So you know, just nothing really you could do about it except be born perfect.
That sounds like drugs.
It definitely wasn't drugs.
Okay. All right. Well, we got our eye on you, Nikki.
Well, most people do.
There it is. Excellent answer. Also, of course, joining us is the Instagrammarian. That's a word. Instagrammarian. I like it. That is key. That is coined. We own it. TM. The Instagrammarian for Edoc Name Lock Interactive, who, of course, has just recently put a picture of President Waluigi up on the Instagram. I'm talking, of course, about Amberly. Amber, how are you?
I am doing good. President Waluigi, is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? Is he third party?
Listen, the Mushroom Kingdom recognizes neither of those parties.
Exactly.
What are the Mushroom Kingdoms?
You are Peach aligned, or you are Bowser aligned, or you are nothing. Pick a fucking side, Waluigi. That's all we ask of you. But how are you this week, Amy? Good?
I'm good.
Good to hear. Of course, normally you would be getting a much more professional sounding introduction from our fearless leader, Cody Coleman. However, he is not here tonight because he went on a ride at Universal Studios and then he got decapitated by people from Disney who were very mad that he went on their rides and not on Disney's rides. Apparently, that's a thing they do.
Yeah. They have a pretty serious rivalry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, apparently they just send people over to, like, slay Universal goers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never saw that happen when I was on, you know, Transformers.
Oh no. It's like, they're like hunting parties. They send us out. It's like, we get, like, it's scheduled on your shift. Like, you know,
they send us out.
Parties. Yeah.
They send us. You said us.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, of course. So, Amby, of course, I think you just admitted to committing murder on behalf of the mouse, but I feel like I wouldn't put it past you.
Well, he's out. Mickey's out there killing his own employees with, you know, poverty, so it's not past him to, you know, screw with Universal people.
Is that what Mickey does? Did I miss that cartoon where he's just like... You know, I can't do any voices right now, but, you know, he just went up to Goofy, and what, did he take away his savings?
He's trying to.
He's been stealing Goofy's identity for years now. And he's been slowly ruining his credit.
No, don't listen to those stories that say, like, Disney's so wonderful, they're giving their employees $1,000 bonus. The subtext of that, and this is, like, legit a real thing, the subtext of that is, oh, you want that $1,000 we promised you? Here's a union contract that you turned down that's totally unfair. You have to sign this to get your $1,000.
That's cute that y'all have unions. They don't allow teachers to have unions where I live. So.
Really?
No, we're a non-union state, ma'am.
Oh, interesting.
It is illegal. But yeah, so, you know, congratulations on working for a corporation. Oh, I think that's how that normally works.
I don't with work all for them no more. I'm just speaking on behalf of my friends because my friends still work there.
That's true. You don't work for anybody anymore, right?
I work for a liquidation company, technically speaking, for like another 60 days.
That's pretty cool.
I guess.
What do? You get to control water or what?
Yes. The tiers of the people who are losing their jobs. I have control over that in my particular location.
A superpower.
And the tiers of children. The tiers of children they wave goodbye to the giraffe. The giraffe is gone.
Yeah.
The giraffe.
I have that power too.
Yeah, the giraffe got sent back to wherever the giraffes go. The dumpster. The answer is the dumpster.
That's dark.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, no,
giraffes are beautiful creatures.
Those speckled long necks. God, you could just kiss them.
Have you ever seen giraffes fighting?
What?
Yes,
no.
I have.
Oh my gosh. So they just swing their necks around and just beat other giraffes with their heads.
With their necks. It's amazing.
Like, do their necks like tie around each other?
Yeah.
It's
scary.
I've never looked inside of a giraffe.
Like, okay, it's kind of like taking two pool noodles and just bash them against each other.
That's actually really accurate.
Yeah.
But wait, do they not have, like, I'm assuming there's bones up in there, right?
There's only, I think, like, six vertebrae, technically, in the
what?
Neck. Yeah. I thought everyone knew that fun fact.
I got more vertebrae than giraffes?
I'm yes.
Wait, certain. Did you just send me a video here? Oh, my God. Do you have, like, a saved playlist of animals battling?
No, I just quickly went to YouTube.
Oh, no, they're just whipping their hair back and forth. This is not fighting.
The first rule of Giraffe Fight Club is we don't talk about Giraffe Fight Club, Nikki.
Oh, my bad. The giraffes are going to get me now.
Yep.
This is pretty violent. I don't like watching it anymore. It's making me feel uncomfortable. But yeah. I'm going to keep watching it until I get my fill of blood, you know, my nightly rations of animal blood on the internet.
Ambi was correct about the seven vertebrae.
Okay. Mm. Oh, you have a picture of a giraffe neck? Is that what this is?
Can we put that on the Instagram?
Okay,
oh my
yeah.
God.
Go to, what's the Instagram again? YNIN? Yeah, find that. Oh, wow. That's a really gross picture, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that head up there that's smiling and so happy is just hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
It has got no chance. No chance in hell. I want to tell you guys about one thing really quick.
Yeah.
I got a plug this week.
Oh, were you on another show?
I did. I did a guest spot.
Oh, what show?
Which one this time?
I was on a podcast called Double Issue. Mm-hmm. And it is a podcast where these two friends and a guest every week, they are basically making up a sort of superhero universe on the fly.
Nice.
Through improv. And they're building upon it each episode. And
that's
so,
really awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty silly in the long run. And
so did you get to create a superhero?
Well, they had a character in mind that they were going to have the episode be about. And so I got to help them embellish this character, knowing really nothing about the universe other than the few episodes that I've listened to. Mm-hmm. And so we had a supervillain, pardon me, by the name of, oh my gosh,
what
I'm not good for podcasting. I am not good for podcasting tonight. The amazing, God, I want to say like the amazing Randall.
Richard?
What's his name? Richard, the amazing Richard. You found it. You went and Googled it immediately. The amazing Richard.
Come on.
Yeah, you're Nikki Wright. And the amazing Richard. And they didn't really know anything about him other than that's the name of a supervillain. And we went pretty hard on this dude to the point where, like, we ended up spending a lot of time talking about a storyline he was involved with a hero that I invented on the fly called Law Warrior, who is a lawyer and a warrior, but they just shorten it to Law Warrior, which is pretty good. And, like, he also has a an arch nemesis who is also a superhero named Defendant Defender. And they're kind of like Daredevil, except their superhero life is the lawyer life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very stupid. And I think they end up dying. I don't remember. It's a funny episode, though. It's a good time. So feel free to give them a listen to Double Issues on iTunes. And you can go and listen to me talk about made up stuff for an hour.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Normally my life is made up of stuff where I talk about real things that happened. Because that's our podcast. In fact, we talk about real things. Can I tell you a little bit about my week, too?
While I'm here? Yeah.
While I'm, you know, basically losing a lung as the episode goes on. Today, I did an escape room.
Oh, ooh. I was wondering if that's where you had gone.
Yeah, so my friend Thomas, his girlfriend Lexi, we normally do escape rooms together. And her brother's in town. So I went over pretty early. We made some waffles and some omelets, and it's a good time. And then we went to an escape room. And this escape room, I'm so sorry. This escape room is operated by Breakout Games,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And which is, if you listen to previous episodes, they are the company that operates the mailing service. Sort of escape room box thing that I get every month that I've talked about previously.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in and we had this room. And I'm trying to remember the theme.
That's not good that you don't remember the theme and you just did it tonight.
We did it earlier. It was like 2 in the afternoon. And it was like a mystery mansion, right? And we go in. And it's pretty well put together. And we got put with some randos. The randos were fantastic. They were really good. It was like this redneck family.
Oh.
It was this dad, this mom, and their daughter. And like he was in like a tank top and shorts. And like they looked ridiculous. But man, they were super good at puzzles. And we go through all of this. And there are some puzzles that just were a bit obtuse.
Sure.
To say the least, there was one where you had to shoot a picture with a toy gun twice, thanks to something that was in a newspaper article, but the gun had no like laser on it, so it didn't seem like it would activate anything. So we had no idea to do that. And at the end of it, we were rushing, and we had 15 seconds left. We get the final key. We go to unlock the lock, and the time runs out.
No! You lost?
It's my second defeat. I'm so sorry.
Oh my god. Oh, so wait, you had your key in the door when the time ran out?
We had key in hand when time ran out.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was only my second time ever losing. It was... not the fault of the randoms. It was the fault of the puzzles and us not being good enough. And it made us all feel really bad. It was a pretty bad time, guys. I just wanted to let you guys know that I've now officially lost twice, so.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you know, it happens. They can't all be winners.
I mean, that's true, but like... one of the worst feelings in the world is losing at an escape game.
And sure,
like,
yeah.
I'm sure being listener so is probably like, are you for real? Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst feelings on the planet, yes.
Yeah.
It's really sucks because, I mean, I had that escape room a couple weeks ago and we were like a minute away from losing. And it's like, it's knowing that you're so close is what,
mm-hmm.
it's a worse feeling being so close and losing than like when we were in Tomb of Monthu and we were like nowhere near completing it. Like,
I disagree. We were pretty close to the end there.
No, we had like if we didn't take so long on that stupid wheel on the wall, we could have done. We might have been closer, but we had a lot of stuff going on, and I still kind of kick myself because I saw that black paint on the wall in the last room, and I thought we should use this flashlight and see what it says, but I didn't do it. And we would have gotten the code to get out. It would have been cutting corners, but we would have gotten the code. Yeah, but it is what it
happens,
is.
Don't
kick yourself too much. You just gotta, you know, do like two and win them to like counteract it.
Well, yeah, so we immediately said we must redeem ourselves. And we made reservations for a different place.
Nice.
To go do another escape room that same night. And we went to the place probably around 6 p.m. And this time we wanted to make sure we were by ourselves.
Yeah.
Lexi and her brother said they didn't really do as well because when they're around strangers, they get kind of awkward. And so, at least
they got to learn to be like us where we get really judgmental.
Right. Yeah. They were quite the opposite. And so we found a good tactic for this. And so if we're ever doing an escape room together in the future, I want us to remember this.
Sure.
We reserved one slot. Just one. Just one spot.
Okay.
Because no one is going to join a room with one person that has reserved it. Because that's the creepiest shit.
That's like, true.
Like if I go and I'm going to reserve a room and I see that there is one slot taken, I'm going to be like, what the? What? But why would they do this? Why is there just one person? And like, I'm going to immediately think, oh, this is Sad Greg. And Sad Greg has no friends and he's going to try and kill us for real in the escape room. And I'm not ready for that.
See, right. I'm really surprised that so many places don't have, like, all of our local ones have reserved private room where you just pay for the entire room and you can have as many or as few people as you want. I mean, I'd totally be willing to pay $5 extra per person to assure that two randos don't show up in the room.
Sure, we have places that are like that, but not all of them are, and this place was not. And so our foolproof tactic totally worked. And so we go into this room, and it is clown-themed.
Oh.
So Cody would have loved it.
Nope.
And we, you know, had an hour, and we beat it in about 25 minutes.
No.
Just kicked its ass. We were ready to redeem ourselves, and I wouldn't say it was, like, easy. It wasn't hard, per se. But, I mean, like, pretty average difficulty. And I feel like we had something to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome, though.
So I wanted to tell you my quick story of defeat and redemption.
So did you make... Was that 25 minutes the record?
No, it was not the record.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Someone had beaten the room in like 22 or 23.
Wow.
They were close, but that's still, any room that's under 30, I think, is maybe a little
for
too
sure.
easy, even.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, it was a good time. And then we left, and I had the only good Indian food experience I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, Indian food is really rare to get right.
Yeah, I kind of have hated it forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I'll try this because everyone else wants to eat it. And so we go and we got it takeout and brought it back so we could play Pandemic Legacy. And like it wasn't bad.
What'd you get?
I don't know. I didn't. Okay. Like they ordered a bunch of stuff and then we just sort of split it.
Sure.
And I deferred to Lexi, whose favorite food is Indian food.
Oh, wow. And that's.
Hmm. There are lots of people like that. Like, we had this conversation in the car on the way there, and, like, she was like, yeah, my favorite food is Indian food, probably, like, followed by Korean, and then blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how is your number one food non-Italian? Italian is the best. Everyone knows this. This is the truth and the light and the way. And everyone else in the car agreed with me, and I was like, oh, cool. I am right. this is a great day.
I agree with, what's her name, Lexi? I agree with Lexi.
Wait,
the Indian food is the
Indian
best food?
Indian food is the best food?
Not that it's the best food, but I think it's up there. I'm not a big fan of Italian food.
Oh, cool. Man, why is your life so bad?
You don't like pasta or pizza or...
No,
any sauce? You don't
No, I like them, but I guess because I live in an area where it's just so everywhere I turn, I'm...
Italian food is everywhere, yeah. Andy. That's what makes it so great.
And that's the thing is that it's I'm oversaturated on Italian food, where it's like...
That's impossible.
It's something that's different is like, man, this is different. I like this. I don't have this at least 3 times a week because it's the only thing that my family will eat.
No, I just want to wake up and bathe in marinara sauce. It rules. It's great.
What?
There, yeah.
You are fired.
Go to jail forever. Please go to jail. You don't deserve to be on the planet. You are not good for society. I don't understand.
I like Alfredo sauce.
I mean, same.
But like... How? How do you not like marinara sauce?
I mean,
do you not eat pizza?
No, I'll eat. I will have marinara sauce, but like on pasta, I don't like marinara sauce on pasta. I like wine like, sauces and Alfredo. And don't hate me.
Like, I don't understand. Do you not like
happiness?
Right. Like. So, like, what would you put it? Like, give me your top three types of food, Ambie.
Shoot, that's hard. I like Japanese.
Sure, great food.
I like Mexican. And I like Indian.
Huh.
Okay.
I am alienating myself for my friends.
It takes all kinds of fruit to make fruit cup, I guess.
Nikki, give me your top three. Go.
I was anticipating that and trying to think about that. I would have to say Italian.
Sure,
because
absolutely.
Obviously Italian and be God. I also really love Korean food. Like I could probably have bibimbap every day. I really like Japanese food as well. I think a close fourth would be like American comfort food.
Yeah, see, like I surprised everyone in the car by saying number one is obviously Italian. I mean, please. But then I was like, number two is American, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, French fries.
I do love like, some yes. French fries. French
macaroni
fries are amazing.
Mac and cheese. Yeah. Which, I mean, pasta again, right? Like, can't go wrong with pasta.
Like, macaroni and cheese is a pasta dish, but it is in no way an Italian
food. Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, there's some things in common here. And
sure,
it's the amazing awesomeness that is pasta. Go on, you're number three.
I was going to say, it's kind of a toss-up. Depends on the day between, like, the thing about it is, I think I like Japanese food more, but Mexican, I think I could eat more often.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah, I have to be in the mood to have Mexican food.
See, to me, Mexican food is a lot more diverse as far as what I like.
Yeah,
sure.
With Japanese food, I pretty much like sushi.
Okay, I mean that's fair.
And like some noodles here and there, but like mostly just sushi. With Mexican food, I'll pretty much eat whatever. And I think, like, maybe the variety of what I enjoy in Mexican might give it that number three spot.
Sure.
Despite the fact that, like, if someone is like, hey, do you want to go eat Mexican or do you want to eat sushi? I'll probably say sushi because I don't eat it a lot and I love it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find other people that are like, you want to do sushi? You're like, oh my God, you want to do sushi? Fuck, I never meet a person like you, please. Please let us.
Like, in my life, yes, apparently.
It is so hard to find someone that will eat sushi with me.
Well, you know, we're going to start a new mail order sushi service soon. So,
yeah.
We'll send you some sushi. It's going to be real, real, real dry.
Yeah.
I hope you're into
botulism on demand.
I love botulism. what is the worst genre of food, by the way?
Oh, ooh. Boy.
Oh, my gosh.
And why is it Thai?
I disagree. I don't think Thai is the worst.
Okay.
Because there's some dishes that I actually really like, but I won't go out of my way to eat them. Like, I really like a dish called pad siu, and it's basically, like, if, like, fried rice were noodles. okay. But you have like really wide noodles and it's, I don't know, it's just really good. And I could, if someone says, let's go get Thai food, I would be like, yeah, okay, because I'm going to eat that. And that is really great. But the worst, you know, for me, like it's anything that's really cilantro heavy. And so you have like a lot of Indian food. Man. That is heavy on the cilantro.
That's probably why you don't like Mexican food.
That's it too. Absolutely.
Because like I feel like some like the best salsas have a lot of cilantro in them. Yeah.
Well.
Yes. I'm sorry you got the cilantro gene.
No, me it too. Because apparently it has like a really like bright lemony flavor, but to me it just tastes wonderful. Like soap.
It's fantastic.
It makes me sad because I love citrus. And so it sounds like if it didn't taste like soap, cilantro would be right up my alley.
Yeah.
But by the way, it's gross.
Listener, that is a thing. Look it up. There is actually a genetic disorder that makes cilantro taste different and like soap for people who have the cilantro gene. And our friend Nikki is unfortunately one of them and she can't. Enjoy
Excuse me, we prefer to call ourselves super tasters.
Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite.
I would have to say that my least favorite, and it's not that like overall, because there are bits and pieces of it that I don't mind, but as a whole, as a collective dish continuity, I guess we'll call it, I don't know, German. I'm not a huge fan of German.
Oh my god, why was my answer not immediately German? Spätzle are so salty. The worst.
It is so salty. So salty. Oh my god, it's like would you like some food with your salt? That is like the motto of German food.
Oh my god.
The one time I had German food, I was in Ohio with two amateur voice actor people. I was with Ray Ignomius and Alicia. And we went to a German restaurant and that Alicia and her husband had picked out, and it was fine. Like I had this weird potato pasta thing that was pretty much just like, what if we made you some macaroni and cheese, and it was just kind of okay. And that's my German food
you
experience.
Had potatoes gratin, but like kinda, German.
But it was like when I say macaroni and cheese, it wasn't like what we think of as cheese, and it was
bizarro
like
world
a,
cheese.
Yeah, yes. It was like the dark timeline cheese, and I don't know what they did, but it wasn't as good as our cheese.
Weird.
My main German dining experience, and this is so me, but there is a restaurant actually at Epcot that everyone is like, oh my god, the German restaurant, it's amazing, you gotta go, it's like the best food in all of Disney. And that is a lie. That is a damn dirty lie, because it was awful. Like, everything just, it was like salt everywhere. Even the dessert, like the apple tart, tasted like salt. It was like they just like sprayed sauerkraut on everything. It was so bad.
Well, now there it is. There's the nightmare scenario. Yeah, sauerkraut is a garbage food.
It's the worst. Ugh. Like, my grandmother used to make this sauerkraut lamb dish, and it would stink up the house for a week. Ugh, oh my god. If I think about it enough, I can still smell it, and it makes me want to vomit.
No.
Listener, for those of you who aren't aware, there are legends about Nikki's grandmother and her terrible immortality and the fact that she just would not stop, I guess, just sort of producing sauerkraut.
Oh, she made so many things with sauerkraut. I'm glad
she
can't.
Did she buy it from
anymore.
The store, or did she just naturally emit it?
I'm pretty sure she just like secreted it from somewhere, because it was just there. And she's like, whenever she would go to the store, she would come back with one grocery bag, and that grocery bag always had the same thing: a stalk of celery. For some reason,
what?
I never saw
it
her
taste
use
like
the
nothing.
Celery.
It tastes like nothing.
Of toiletries, which is weird because like she didn't shower much, and those like store brand chocolate cookies and vodka. Sure.
Why would you need to shower when you got the kraut, you know?
Right?
when you got that kraut just coming out of
every orifice, oh, yeah.
God, you just wake up and your bed is just covered in that delicious kraut. Oh my God.
Well, at least we can all agree that German food is the worst food. At the very least, we can all agree.
Yeah,
that.
I think so.
All right.
I'm into that. All yeah, right. We'll throw that out there. German food, enemy of the show.
Yeah.
Speaking of enemies of the show, hey, do you guys want to talk about news stories?
Yeah, we can do that.
Who would like to go first this week?
I feel like I went first last week, so one of you two should go.
I feel like that was your excuse last time.
I agree wholeheartedly. Amby, go first.
Dang it. Okay, so have you guys ever had to appear in court?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really? I was not anticipating that from either of you.
I mean, come on, Amby. I'm a loner, a rebel.
And I'm just a criminal in general.
Well, you don't have to share your experience with us.
I got a speeding ticket. Come on.
I mean, samesies.
I once had a friend who got a speeding ticket and went to court and fought it and totally got, not only did he get his ticket revoked, but he got like 200 other people's tickets revoked.
The cop didn't show up?
No, the cop showed up, but he made them test the counter. And the counter was off. So, the one that got him, the counter was misaligned. Like, you hear about that happening, that actually happened for my friend. Where he went to court and, like, he said, like, there was no way I was speeding as much as he said to me, like, I was speeding, but I wasn't speeding as much as he says I was speeding. And he went to court and they got the counter from the car and it wasn't aligned properly. So his ticket was thrown out and every ticket that was issued within X amount of days by that counter was also thrown out. So he not only saved himself a ticket, but he saved a bunch of other people a ticket as well, too.
Well, what a hero.
Yeah, he was the hero of that hill that always gets people speeding tickets. But when you were in court and you were sitting there waiting to go up and present yourself, did you ever feel like just running away and just like, you know, turning and never looking back?
Oh, yeah. I was worried they were going to put me in the clink just forever.
Yeah. Like
I was like, oh, dang. I was sitting there in my suit next to my lawyer that I'd hired. And I was just sweating bullets. I was like,
God. It was really like, I don't know why you were so nervous. You had me.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, Nikki, I know you don't have a law degree, but I did pay you $4,500 to represent me.
And it was money well spent, right?
Yeah, no, I went to jail.
Money well spent, right?
They cuffed
the money may have gone toward paying off the judge, but money well spent.
Definitely. for a 10 over speeding ticket.
I love alternate universe criminal friends.
So my court experience, I went to the court to in preparation to like discuss my speeding ticket, and they didn't have record of me because the cop wrote all of my information down really badly.
Bravo.
So they were like, just call every month. For the next year, we might find it, and then I didn't call, so.
So they the lost your information?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So,
wow.
I guess you won?
Did I? I mean, there might come a day where, like, I get pulled over for speeding or something, and the cop is like, oh, wow, we've had a warrant out for your arrest forever.
Sure.
Step out of the car, ma'am.
That would be pretty amazing, actually.
I love it.
I've been to court many a time for speeding tickets, because legendarily I have received quite a few.
Yeah.
I normally go there because if you go there, you can pay for them, and they will not give you points.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's kind of a negotiation type of thing. Normally they have what's called a solicitor who will meet you before you actually see the judge. And then you can just say like, hey, yeah, no, I don't want to, you know, I'll pay you here today. Because, you know, they want the money. They don't care about your points. And so I make sure I don't pay online. I make sure I go up there to pay.
Wow.
The one time I spoke to a judge was when I used my one time in every 7 years no-look contendere plea to get out of paying a speeding ticket. Because I don't know if that's a nationwide thing, but here in Georgia, every 7 years you can plead no-look contendere to something minor, and then you don't have to pay it, and you don't get in trouble for it, and you get to leave.
Interesting. I don't know if that's the case here or not.
Yeah, it was really, it was like my second speeding ticket ever, and I wasted it like an idiot. But you know,
I know you were planning on a murder,
right? Multiple.
But I'm really glad that now you have to rethink that.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Not having murdered anybody. Sigh.
That we know of.
But you both had your day in court, and you both did what you were supposed to do. You didn't like run like a crazy maniac.
Correct, yeah.
So you weren't this guy from Spanish Fork, Utah, which, by the way, there's a town called Spanish Fork.
Spanish Fork?
Spanish Fork.
Okay.
So like F-O-R-K, the dining utensil?
Yep.
Okay. And where is this?
At first I thought it was Fort.
Utah.
Of course it's in Utah. Go on.
Why would it be? Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That sounds like something they'd do.
35-year-old Christopher Clay Rudd was in court to make an appearance for violation. The reason he was there was he was making an appearance for violating the terms of a court-mandated drug treatment program. So he was supposed to go to a drug treatment program, and he ditched it.
Okay.
And then he decided to ditch court. While handcuffed and sitting and waiting for his time to come before the judge, as he's sitting off to the side while someone else is being addressed by the judge, he just decided, nah, fuck this shit, I'm running. So, So handcuffed, he gets up and runs out of the courtroom.
Okay.
So he runs out of the courtroom, and obviously people are now giving chase because a guy in handcuffs just got up and started running through a courtroom. And he runs out of the courtroom, and he's looking around, and he has to find a way to get out. So he immediately just runs for the railing and jumps the railing to escape.
Uh-huh.
Except for the fact that he was on the second floor of the courthouse, and immediately crashed into the floor right at the front desk where there were three other cops waiting him.
Okay, all right.
But the thing that makes this great is that there is video footage from multiple angles.
Lovely.
Including his descent to the ground at the end. So if you click on this article.
So listener, I've seen this video and it's incredible.
It's so great.
Okay.
So listener, if you go to YNIN. Interactive.com, and you look at the show notes, you'll be able to see it, or you can look it up. Look up, I guess, Spanish Fork, Utah escapee, and watch it, because you have to see it to just believe. It's so funny, the police's reaction as he falls from the sky in the last bit.
I mean, did he die?
No, he has a broken a broken leg.
Okay.
He was hospitalized for a broken leg, a broken pelvis, and a fractured skull.
That ain't so bad.
It ain't so bad. Just I love watching it for the last video where the police just look up and they're like, shit, there's convicts falling from the sky in this place.
Oh my. Oh, that's a cool flip.
Yeah, kind of those like this.
They were on him like right away though.
Yep. They're like right there. What is seriously your game plan? You are in a courthouse. And there are cops everywhere.
What was he going to jail for?
He wasn't even technically going to jail. He was just there for a hearing for violating the terms of a court-mandated drug treatment program.
Okay. I mean, yeah, no, the angle from the bottom floor is wonderful.
It's the best. The guy in the suit.
Yeah, the guy in the suit was like, I didn't do this, right?
Yeah.
He's like looking at his hands, like, he's looking up, like, what? And, like, the cop was also looking up, like, are there more? Like, oh, this is good.
Yep.
So, I'm assuming he went to jail.
There's no update as to what exactly happened to him, because I'm pretty sure he's in the hospital right now, but...
Sure.
Once he's better, I believe he's going to be going back for his original, as well as a couple more extra charges on top of that.
You think?
Just a few.
Okay, well, we'll see. Good luck to him. See, Nikki, you got something?
Yeah. So we are going to go to New Jersey. We're going to go all the way from Utah to New Jersey, where Kenilworth School District had been dealing with a bit of an issue at one of their high schools. Every day for the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, they were finding shit on the school's track. And not just any shit, human shit. And they were really confused by this because, like...
Why? That's normal.
Right? Right? I mean, yeah, everybody expects human fecal matter just in public places all the time.
And then where do you shit?
Right? Certainly not in designated facilities. But, you know, like, who would do something like this? Is it, like, a senior prank? If so, that would be really weird.
I mean, okay, let's think this through. Because sure. We gotta solve this mystery.
Yeah.
So we've got a serial pooper.
Uh-huh.
Who's coming on to, is the football field?
The football field / track.
I was
going to
say, okay. I read this one. I believe it said track.
Mm-hmm. Onto the track. We got a football field and the track. A serial pooper. I mean, I'm thinking top three suspects.
Okay.
One, probably the track coach.
Sure.
Okay.
He's going to go out there. He's going to lay a little deuce. Maybe a whole bunch of little deuces. And then in the morning when all of his trackers come in and they start running in circles like human NASCARs,
mm-hmm.
They see the poops and they're like, oh no, we got to run fast. And he's like, whistle.
Hey, I think that would be a decent motivator, I guess.
Yeah, no, if I was a track meter, as you know, they call themselves.
Sure.
I would, of course, want to be as far away from the human fecal debris that now littered our high school's track.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that would be my top suspect. Sure. Now, of course, we've got to think of some others. I would think the second most likely suspect would be probably Derek Jervis in my eighth period physical science class.
Uh-huh.
He's a weirdo, and he's always sitting in the back. He chews his pencils, but he chews, like, all the way through.
Oh,
yeah,
so like he's got some weird gastrointestinal issues going on.
He's got some weird issues in general. Did you hear that he asked Jessica to the prom?
Jessica?
Oh my gosh.
Wow, you know she's just gonna laugh in his face, right? Because she's going with Zach.
Of course she's going with Zach. Everyone knows Jessica's going with Zach. But instead, Derek Jervis came up and he tried to ask her, and he looks like a frog.
Oh my God.
Of course, he probably pooped on it.
Yeah.
And then, as a real-life cop, my third suspect would probably be an insane poop man who lives in the woods outside the school.
Sure.
Now hear me out.
Okay.
As a school teacher, I am very acutely aware of the fact that there are many insane people who live in the woods beside our school.
Sure.
Now, as long as we don't bother them, normally they don't bother us. Because if we do, they'll start throwing spears. They have arrows that they dip in oils and set aflame. Those normally don't do well for the, you know, the sixth grade field days. And so we really don't want to, like, just sort of bother the insane forest humans. But I would assume, perhaps, there is the slight chance that an insane forest human wandered into our society, saw, you know, oh, a metal bird in the sky, and, like, just shit himself on the track. And that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else other than track coach, Derek Jervis, and insane forest human. There's only one of those three. Nikki, give me the answer, please.
Yeah. So it wasn't a track coach, either the schools or rival schools or otherwise. It wasn't, Derek Jervis. And it wasn't insane forest human. But it was a man by the name of Thomas Tramaglini.
That was number four.
Yeah. So Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas Tramaglini. I love him.
So Thomas is actually really familiar with the school.
How?
Because he's the superintendent.
Oh, no.
Oh,
is that what that job does?
Yes. They are tasked with fertilizing the track because we all know personally, that's how those tracks get that nice spongy feel as you run on
sure.
them. that's disgusting. I'm sorry.
Oh, God, yeah.
We don't know how police turned to him as a suspect, but recently they waited for Thomas to show up on the track at around 5:30 in the morning, where he went for a run. And as like he was in the middle of his first lap, he just decided this is the spot, and he dropped trout and went for a run. So they caught him and they arrested him probably after he finished, I would guess.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
And so he's in custody. The school district announced that he was granted paid leave of absence.
What? For committing what crime?
Yeah. So he was arrested, and I know you're gonna be like, come on. But he was arrested for lewdness, littering, and defecating in public.
Oh, yeah, I guess he did all of those things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, geez, you know, we have a superintendent, and I don't want to talk about him too much because I guess he could fire me.
Sure, sure.
But he is a muscular, strong-ass man who likes to come up and give speeches. And every time I watch him give speeches, he, I think he doesn't know how shirts work.
Okay.
Because, like I said, he's a muscular, strong, just a skeleton wearing a muscle suit. And he comes up and he gives these speeches about education, but obviously, he is a Greek god cut from stone. And there's no reason he should. And, like, I'm not doing a bit here, by the way. My superintendent is like a fucking bodybuilder. I don't understand
that. That's weird.
It's crazy. Like, the dude comes up and he gives speeches, and like as you're doing it, you can't like not say, man, I'm sure he's talking about something cool, but that guy's bicep is bigger than his head.
Yeah.
Like, how'd he do that? That's juice. Bad. Yeah, sit-ups and plenty of juice, of course. Yes.
No, oh God, steroids. He was juicing.
Oh, is that a new kind of like flavor or?
Yeah.
Okay, I like
just general juice good. is the flavor of
general juice?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. So, yeah, I'm going to go check that out. Sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. I found this story because my local news had the following headline. School pooperintendent accused of defecating on high school track. And
so they're closing your local news.
And I'm sorry. That caught my attention because it's such a bad pun.
Pooperintendent?
Yes.
Like, that's... But why?
Who knows?
I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I understand the quote-unquote joke.
Right.
That we were attempting to make, but pooper intendant, huh?
Yeah.
Though, gonna be honest, imagine being known as the pooper intendant.
Right? That's gonna follow you around forever. Oh, look, here comes Thomas, the pooper intendant, blah, 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 whatever your last name is.
Yeah. Do you have to... So, like, is there a serial pooper registry that you have to get on when you, like, get caught for this?
There is now.
When you move into a new neighborhood, they're just like, hey, can you, you're going to be okay with the fact that I live here? I kind of just poop.
Right.
Wherever. Y'all know how it is.
Yeah, when you've got my problem.
Right, which is... uncontrollable defecation in public.
Right, exactly. So that's it. All that's right. My story.
What a wonderful world we live in,
Yes.
I am going to follow that story up with something kind of insane.
More insane than a grown man shitting on a track? For no discernible reason?
I think so.
Okay.
So, Nikki, you're heading into India soon, right?
I am.
When are you going?
I'm leaving the 13th.
Of this month?
Of this month.
And how long are you going to be there?
I'm coming back the 17th, so it's like a 20-hour travel time, so I'll be there a total of 2 actual days.
Wow, are you going to do some sightseeing while you're there?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Do you even know anything about the trip that you're taking?
No, I know where I'm staying. I know I have a bunch of pills I have to take this week.
Sure,
And I know it's going to be 110 degrees, and one day is projected to rain while 110 degrees.
Okay, that sounds like it would burn your flesh.
Yeah, it doesn't it, though? It sounds cool. Like hell on earth.
Well, I want to tell you about the story of Suraj Shah.
Sure.
And it's not a very good story.
Oh, no.
Suraj Shah, he got into some trouble recently. You know, he's a normal guy, you know, lived with his wife, he has some kids, and, I'm not sure how he got to the point where he was at, but we can only assume that he fell into some hard times, and so he needed some money to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. Now, when I'm looking for money, I know the very first place I want to go is, of course, to a loan shark.
Obviously. And,
I don't know if this guy's a loan shark, but he kind of seems like it. And I'm gonna give you some reasons as to why this guy might be a loan shark. Now, the person he borrowed money from was his lawyer. And his lawyer is a guy by the name of Vijay Rohit.
Mm-hmm.
And Vijay, he gave him 4.6 lakh, which... someone do the math on that, but I think that's $45 trillion.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right. And he gave him this money. And I think the fact that he gave him such a massive amount of money is reason number one why this guy's a loan shark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reason number two why I think this guy's a loan shark is that when Mr. Shah did not give him the money back immediately or on time, he brought two heavies with him. Yeah. In order to intimidate him.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, normally that's, like, to me, a pretty big sign of being a loan shark.
Sure.
And then sign number three of being a loan shark is that when he didn't pay the money again on time, Mr. Rohit and his two associates definitely killed him.
Oh, no.
And threw his body in a nearby canal with a stone tied to his legs.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the story starts out a little dark. Yeah, it does escalate pretty quickly. The body was found near the end of April, and the police sent the body for autopsy, and then they handed it over to the family, and they claimed the body, and they then had him cremated. And that was to be the end of their troubles. But then comes the part that makes this more insane than the cereal pooping guy.
Okay.
So again, they cremated Mr. Shah on May the 1st. And then it was about maybe a week later, which I guess it hasn't even been a week since May 6th or May 1st. So I guess it's within this past week. The police found something strange. And they were looking in the canal, same place they found Shah's body, and they found the last thing you would expect. What okay. do you think they found?
Okay. Oh my gosh. The last thing you'd expect.
I want to guess from both of you.
Nazi memorabilia.
gosh, I don't know how I can top that. another body?
Okay, well... I'm going to say, Nikki, thank you for playing.
You're welcome.
Ambi, you are the closest without going over.
Ah, Price is Right rules of death.
Yeah, they did find another body in the canal. Here's the weird part. The body in the canal, it was a Suraj Shah. Yeah, you might remember him as the guy who was murdered by his lawyer.
Yeah.
And they found him in the canal on April 25th, and then they cremated him.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, they found him again.
Wait,
what?
Yeah. So basically, what seems to have happened is that they found a body in the canal on May 1st, or before May 1st, and they brought it in, and they were like, hey, do you guys think this is your husband? And they were like, yeah, totally. And then the autopsy person went into an autopsy, and they were like, yeah, it's probably him. And then they totally cremated him. But then I can only assume, in this news story, I can only assume that first guy, that wasn't him.
Yeah,
they cremated the wrong person.
They cremated the body so they can't even figure out who it was.
Yeah, it's kind of gone. Now, the possibility of the second body being that of Mr. Shaw is strengthened by the fact that the three accused men claimed that they had tied a stone to the legs of the deceased before throwing it into the canal. The body recovered earlier did not have any stones tied to it. Well, a stone was found tied to the second body's legs. He was also wearing the clothes that was worn by Mr. Shaw on the day that he vanished. Shruti Shaw, who is the wife of the deceased, told the media, what can I say? There appears to be some kind of mix-up.
I mean...
Oh my god!
Yeah, like, they didn't ask her to identify him?
I mean, they did.
And she was like, yeah, that's him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, they took the second body and they cremated that one, too.
So now, there's someone out there who's never going to know what happened to their loved one because they were dust. They're...
Yeah. Oh, this family is just going around cremating people. Maybe she just really, really likes cremating folks.
Yeah, you know, why not?
I mean, you know, it's India's pastime. And I saw this news story and two potties of a Valdora man found family cremates both. And I was like, oh, cool. This is hell. What is happening?
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird to just brush it off as, oops, mistakes were made.
Right.
Hilarious.
Like, I mean, yes, mistakes were made, but pretty serious mistakes were made. Like, you can't just brush that off as, like, you know, haha.
How is the wife not going to jail?
Right?
Yeah.
That's...
But I guess she's not going to jail.
That's weird.
Yeah, so, you know, make sure that when you die, maybe you're wearing, like, you get one of those cool chips like dogs get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know some countries are experimenting with that already.
Really?
Yeah.
Sort of, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get a chip.
Yeah. The potato
chip.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. Give me some Ruffles. Thanks, government. Got you. Took you for everything you're worth. Ambie, you're up again.
Oh, man. Okay. Hang on. Let me get my article open.
You got our last story.
I get the last story?
Yes, ma'am.
Unless someone else wants to nail it.
Okay. I got a story. Okay. So, I have spoken in the past about...
Agreed. Yeah, I've heard it.
About things I've encountered at my job. Sure. Working in a toy store, and I've spoken about in the past about people leaving their kids. A very famous story I've talked about multiple times on the show is a couple that were in there with other people in their group when the store grand reopened. This is like, what, 6.5 years ago or so? That a child was left in a stroller back in the bike section, and people were like, sure. Is this your child? Is this child with you? To others who were in the group, and they're like, no, that's not ours. We don't know what you're talking about. And then eventually, before they left the store, they're like, yeah, that's ours. We just didn't want to watch it while we were in the store. We'll take it now. Bye. It was, like, weird. Then there was another incident that I just spoke about a couple episodes ago that I still can't believe I never mentioned before about Matthew's father, the guy who left his kid in the store while he took the other 5 kids to church. And we didn't find out about it until the kid came up to one of our employees and asked for some money to buy a snack because he was hungry.
Sure.
And but his father came back before we could call the cops.
I'm glad they're closing Toys R Us. It sounds like a place for bad people to come and do bad things.
It's funny you should mention that. Because we're going to go to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the next town over, where,
I've been there.
You've been there. I've always said, it's going to happen. Someone is going to leave a child behind in this story. It's going to happen. It didn't happen to us, but it happened to our neighbors next door. Because that's a thing that happened. A guy walked into the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Toys R Us, at 8:30, which was a half an hour before closing, this past Wednesday night, this happened this week, dropped a baby off and left and didn't come back.
Was he leaving him for Joffrey or what?
I don't know, but he left him at the Toys R Us, not the Babies R Us, which makes like no sense whatsoever, but I digress. This was a big mystery since Wednesday. No one knew what was going on because this guy just shows up, leaves a baby, and just leaves. And the details were a little foggy. So now I have, today, the details were revealed about this whole situation.
It's Joffrey's child.
Oh my god, how did you know? Spoiler alert!
Dylan in the background agreed with the drama of that sentence.
Spoiler alert. No, that's not what happened here. An arrest warrant has been issued for this man because they now know who he is. I'm actually really sad because there was originally a video linked to this article that seems to have been removed that actually had like a screenshot of the like the documents that gave you the whole saga of how this baby ended up at this Toys R Us. Because it's not that some guy just dumped a baby at Toys R Us. No. The gentleman, a Mr. Thomas Himlin, 24, offered to babysit the child for his friend who was moving apartments. So the kid wasn't even his.
Okay.
He then got in a car accident with the child and fled the scene, where he drove down the road, got in an altercation with two other men on the side of the road, and then finally stopped at the Toys R Us, brought the child in, left the kid in their car seat asking the people if they could watch the baby for a second because he lost his cell phone somewhere in the store, proceeded to turn around and peace out. And no one knows where he is. He has not been seen since he dropped this child off. Because the police got called to three different instances, and they came to find out that all three were the same instance. They were called for the car accident because he fled the scene. They were called for the confrontation with the two men on the highway. And then they were called for the abandonment of a child. So the child is in protective custody. The mother didn't know what was going on. The mother's been trying to contact Himlin, going, "Where's my baby?" since Wednesday. And it is only yesterday or today that she found out that hers was the baby that was abandoned at Toys R Us.
Wow.
All right. Wow.
Right? It's crazy. So if you are in the northeastern Pennsylvania area and you see Thomas Himlin, turn his ass in, please.
Sure.
Yes.
I can't really imagine a world in which I'm working a job. Someone says, "Hey, can you watch my baby for a little bit?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah, that's not something that we're supposed to do, but I guess he just
It's not in the job description, right? Yeah,
absolutely not. No. In fact, if someone says something like that, the proper procedure is, "I can't do that. You gotta watch your own kid. Sorry."
Right. Sure.
Like, that is like, we can't even, like, when someone, like, walks away with their purse in the cart, I yell to them, like, "I can't watch your purse, lady. You gotta take it for yourself."
Right, yeah, it's a liability.
Exactly. But, if he walked in and he just dumped the kid really fast and turned before anybody could say anything, I mean, I'm sure there's
like, did nobody think, "Wow, he ran off pretty quickly. Maybe I should call somebody."
Oh, they called the police.
But, like immediately?
I'm fairly certain they called police, like, immediately when they said, like, he didn't go, like, any, like, because he dropped the kid off, probably at the service desk more than likely, because I know that store, and it's like, as soon as you walk in, there's a service desk. So they clearly had to walk in and just dump the kid right there at the front door and then turn around and piece right back out again. But I know that there's lots of video cameras in that store because I've seen they send us stuff when people are stealing and license plates and so on and so forth from their cameras. So that's probably how they found out about him very, very quickly. But I always said like it's going to happen in my store, and it didn't, but it happened right like 45 minutes down the road. Next town over, basically.
Congratulations, I guess.
So close. So close. There's still a month and a half left. So, I mean, maybe we'll get lucky.
Do you just want to be a mom real bad? And so you're just like, man, I hope someone drops a baby off here someday.
No, I just want a good life story. Well, not a good life story, but, you know, a good story.
Yeah, that's how I saved a baby when someone put it in the Toys R Us dumpster. That's your good life story. Share that with everybody. All right. Well, I think that's going to bring us to a better hour. So we are going to take this show, crumble it up, and throw it in the trash along with all of our other shows. So thank you guys for being a part of it, though.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You know, I'm glad to have opened up my podcast arena to you guys. And we are here, of course, sharing in the spotlight as the millions of downloaders listen every single stupid week.
Millions.
So we'll be back next stupid week, by the way, with more Stuff Weekly. Hopefully Cody will be revivified.
He should be.
I wouldn't count on it. Just kind of because his body is weak and mushy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but also because of the Disney assassins.
Right.
As long as he gets out of Universal quickly and just goes to Disney and gives them his money, he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how
that works? They really just want the cash. They don't care that you're going to Disney. There's a shakedown unit.
Oh, yeah. If you just make it rain money. Like, if you see that. So that's your hint. If you're at Universal and you see the Disney hunting party coming, you just throw your wallet at them and they'll leave you alone.
Oh, good to know.
Sounds pretty legit.
Does it matter if the wallet is full?
They really don't care much.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I'm just going to carry an empty wallet.
Right. Absolutely.
Now I know how to chase away those ninja blues. Well, thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back next week with more stories for you to listen to because you apparently don't know how to Google weird news. So I'm, of course, your host, Matt Ryan, followed, of course, by Nikki Wright and Amber Lee. And we are wishing you a fond farewell and hoping that you don't die because I guess that would be bad for you.
Bad for us too. That's one less listener.
That would be zero.